Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you or introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There is no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. And today we get to kick off a new series entitled Firm Foundations. But before we do that, can we just honor the gift that is our worship team? I'm just so honored and privileged and blessed by them every single week, the gifts that they use to lead us into the presence of God, and also our usher team for who they are and just creating an environment of excellence and just allowing us to be able to be in an environment that we can worship God without distractions. And listen, they're creating more room. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's like they create more seats every single week. And we're excited about that. We're creating bunk beds. So listen, you get more kids, you create bunk beds. You don't get rid of the kids. You create more space for the kids. So pretty soon, we're going to be putting seats on top of seats, which is really exciting. I got dibs on top bunk. That's a great quote. That's a great quote. Listen, I want you all to make some noise for these individuals because they're not going to be able to hear you unless you're loud. And those are the individuals that are upstairs pouring into the kids of Bridge City Church. And every single week, they're up there encouraging, empowering, equipping, and caring for the children of Bridge City Church in such a way that they're not just excited to be here on Sunday morning, they're excited to come back the next week. God is using the children of Bridge City Church to change families. And they're doing that over here as well. But you gotta be really loud for those people up there. So let's honor that gift. Amen. And today we get the opportunity of kicking off this series and the foundation that God is building upon. And you may be here today and you may be thinking, I have no idea what this firm foundation is that they're speaking of. You know, Matt spoke about, you know, a wise person builds their house on rock, not on sand. And I want us all to be wise. And you may be here today and think, I don't have this foundation that is being built upon. And I've been thinking about foundations all week, and Pastor Keith Tusey, our founding pastor, his son builds custom homes. And they poured this foundation for a custom home that's bigger than what I could even fathom. And the amount of work that went into just preparing to pour the foundation, like when they were digging the footer and all this work, I was just completely amazed at everything that went below the foundation in and of itself, before they could even begin to build, the work that went into it. Yeah. I was amazed. And nobody will ever see that foundation. Nobody will ever see the footer that's below it. No one will ever see the rebar. No one will ever see the blood, the sweat, the tears that went into that work. And you may be here today, you may be thinking, my foundation's not poured, it's not cured, it's not ready to be built upon. You may be here and you think, my foundation's really faulty, it's cracked. Guess what? Foundations can be repaired. You may be here today and you may be thinking, I have nothing to even build upon. Well, let's start excavating and get ready. Let's start clearing some ground, okay? I've been looking for land, I've been driving around. Took a drive with Bruce, our business director, and showed him McKeesport and White Oak and North for Sales and showed him all the land that is to be had. And I was thinking about excavating and thinking about what needs to be done and what could be done and dreaming. And I'm dreaming for you all and what could be done and what God wants to do. But you need to be able to see it. You need to be able to place yourself in a position that you're ready to be built up or have the foundation poured. So today we're going to hear from Paul, the letter that he wrote to the Colossians, to encourage them, to empower them, to challenge them to live out everything that had been given to them. And we're going to be encouraged and empowered and challenged today to live out everything that's been given to us. But the big question is God's word really enough? Did Jesus really give us everything that we need to have when he died on the cross? Is it enough? Hopefully we answer that today and we're all on the same page before we leave this place. You know, before I jump in, I want to do something different today. We're going to go through Colossians for the entirety of this series. And Colossians was written to continue to empower us to walk out the faith that we have. And we're going to go through 14 verses today. And before we unpack it and go through it, I want to read it. I want to read all 14 verses of Colossians 1, 1 through 14. And then we're going to unpack it. And we're going to do something a little different, maybe something that'll make some of us a little uncomfortable. But during worship, we bring reverence to God. We worship him. All focus is on him. As a matter of fact, throughout the entirety of our worship experience, we're bringing reverence to him in everything that we do. So as I read these 14 verses, we're going to revere the word of God. We're going to bring reverence to him, and we're going to stand to our feet. I'm not going to be the only one standing with a few of the ushers. So let's stand as we hear the word of God read to us and read over us. And you can close your eyes, you can bow your head, you can kneel down if you want to. But let's have the word of God just read over us. Colossians 1, verse 1, a greeting from Paul, an apostle in Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray that it would do exactly what it's designed to do. Encourage us, empower us, equip us, challenge us. Lord, that it would pierce our hearts. Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word today, but we would be doers of your word, Lord. God, that what we need to hear, we would hear. What we need to do, we would do. And God, we would understand that your word is not lacking in any way. And we are not lacking in any way because we have your word, Lord. And God, it is more than enough in our lives. So God, may we receive everything that you want us to receive today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Let's continue with our word today. And I want to go to a little further in Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. And Paul, this is kind of like his mission statement. He says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. You know, this is one of the things that I struggle with as a pastor, that are we preparing you? Are we encouraging you? Are we maturing you? Are you growing up? Are you growing? Are you moving forward? Or are you just at a nice place on Sunday mornings in a comfy seat that has good coffee? Seriously, and we're believing for more parking. Like, are you, is that all? Or are you maturing? Lennon just turned 7. Can't believe I'm saying he's 7. And Rachel looked at him the other day and said, you know, Lennon, since you've turned 7, you're so pleasant. And you're funny. Pleasant and more funny than you were in like a day. He's like, why, thank you. That's the spirit. That's what he said to her. That's the spirit. Yeah. But are you maturing? Are you growing up in the Lord? Well, that should be a desire of each and every one of us. One of our launching verses that we're going to use every single week is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. If you've received him, if he's yours, if you've become a son or daughter, walk in that. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abiding in thanksgiving. Christ is enough. He's enough. Let's all say it. Christ is
enough.
Say it loud so they could hear it upstairs. So they think you're yelling at me. Christ is
enough.
Yeah. He is. As a matter of fact, he's more than enough. This Mon Valley spirit says we just got to have enough. We're just going to have enough. Just going to keep our nose above water. That's scary for me. I can't even breathe through my nose. Did you say we can tell? Gentlemen, remove this man. I have small nasal passages. I am who I am, Matt. One of our elders is just sitting in the front line. All right, here we go. Let's dig in to Colossians 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Let's just say at Bridge City, here, you're still being encouraged by the words that Paul wrote to them. May grace be with you and peace be with you from God our Father. When we grasp exactly what they were grasping that Paul was trying to throw to them, it's powerful. What's he throwing here? That they're saints. That they're saints. That they're set apart for a purpose, for God's purpose. That they're set apart from the world for him. not for yourself, not because of anything that you've done, but because of everything that he's done. If you've ever met Pastor Larry Paladin, he's probably greeted you by saying, "Hello, saint. Good day, saint. Have a great day, saint. How are you, saint? Nice to see you, saint." Now, when I first met him, I wanted to say, if you only knew. My sainthood was rejected years ago. But I didn't say that when I first met him. I kept hanging around him, and he kept calling me a saint. He kept calling me a saint. He kept saying, "Thank you, saint," or "Nice to see you, saint." And one day I told him, I said, "I'm not a saint." And he said, "It's not about where you've been, but it's about where he's leading you." And you know what I said to him? "Thank you, saint." And I'm still walking with him. And you know what he calls me now? Pastor. Honored to walk with him. When you start to walk in who you are and who he's called you to be, something changes. You're a saint. And you're also a stealer. It's better to be a stealer than a saint sometimes. I didn't do it during the first. I took my flesh captive during the first, Matt, but I had to bring the whole stealer saint thing up. I'm sorry. So what was he encouraging people past? What was he speaking to the Colossians about? He was encouraging them past some doctrinal problems that were going on. There was a corruption of Christianity happening. There was combined beliefs happening. There was a religious mixing of Judaism and Christianity and mysticism and all of these intellectual things. Sounds a little bit like today. People say the Bible's not for today. It doesn't relate to me today. It absolutely does. Just go on Facebook. Everybody's like, just do you. Believe this. Believe that. Listen to this YouTuber. Listen to this YouTube preacher. Listen to this Instagram reel. Listen to this. And mix it all together and just believe what you want to believe. Read this book. Read this book. Go to this book. I was in Half Price Books the other day, and I was heartbroken to see the amount of Bibles that were there that were engraved with people's names on them. Now, I'm just praying that somebody passed away and they just got rid of that person's Bible and that person just give up on God and say, "I'm selling my Bible." But it also broke my heart that some family member received that and didn't keep it. You know, God is not a self-help program. And that's what it becomes when we take this worldview that combines these secular ideas with spirituality and politics and culture, and it's based on this belief that the main purpose in our life is to be happy and feel good about ourselves. And that's what Paul was encouraging and writing to them, to encourage them to walk in everything that God had for them. And these Gnostics, this Gnosticism that was going on in their day, they were claiming that they were the only ones that could claim this elevated knowledge, a higher truth known to only these certain few people. And they were trying to get people to see them as the privileged class, these elevated people above everyone else, that they were higher, that they were the only ones who could get this deeper knowledge and revelation of God. Come to me. Go to me. I'm the only one that has this. You have the right and the ability and you can go to God and receive everything that he has for you. You're his kid. Larry Powell, every week he leads prayer. He comes to me and gives me a report of what happened at prayer. It happens every single week, 7:30 a.m. upstairs. And what happened during prayer this week? That freedom is available to you. To every single one of us, freedom is available to you. And where do we find it? It's not at Target. It's not at Kohl's, especially not with Kohl's cash. That's such a ripoff. That's the greatest scam in American history, Kohl's cash. We'll talk more about that later. Kohl's cash is a scam. They mark everything up three times, and then they put it on sale. It's true. This sweater's $60. We're going to mark it down to $30, but it's normally $25. I'm sorry. Where was I? Kohl's cash. I know I was at Kohl's cash. That was the bunny trail. I need to get back on the main trail. Freedom's available to you. Where do you get it? You don't get it at Kohl's or Target. It's in the Word. That's where you find it. Freedom is available to you in the Word of God. And you're not just going to find it at the Word of the Day that you get on your Bible app. You got to dig. That foundation that I talked about earlier for this ginormous custom-built home, they had to dig to put the footer in, to build the foundation. Then they built up. They had to dig. They had to put work in. We all only see the finished product of stuff, but we don't want to do the digging. We have to dig. And we can reveal everything. God will reveal everything that he has for us if we dig. Verses 3 through 5, we always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word, the truth of the gospel. Listen, there's fruit that we reveal and will be revealed to us the more and more, the more that we serve him, the closer we get to him. This fruit gets revealed in our life. And I'm thankful for that. And we'll talk a little bit more about this fruit. And what does this hope show us? It shows us that this faith and this hope and this love that comes from us being together is contagious. Paul was encouraging them in this. There might be some of these rough things going on, but faith, hope, and love is present. You know, one of the best things for me as a pastor is to see all of you actually liking each other and wanting to be together and wanting to talk with each other and wanting to have more time with each other. Seeing you all growing in faith and hope and love. Verses 6 through 8, which has come to you as indeed the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. And also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in spirit. Bearing fruit. The more you dig, the more you plant, the more fruit will be bared. You know, there's so much. I leaned over to Matt during our first worship experience, and I'm just in awe of the fruit within our campus. You know, I'm in awe of the gifts that have been led here. I'm in awe of the gifts that are on our worship team. I'm in awe of the gifts that are served within children's ministry. I'm in awe of Bridge City students and the people that serve Wednesday nights. I'm in awe of every single person that allows for their gifts to be used. But you know what else I'm in awe of? I'm in awe of the gifts and the fruits that are being hidden. And I can't wait for them to be revealed. You know, you think of an orange tree. You go down to Florida, you don't see an orange tree like cowering back and hiding its oranges. Tropicana doesn't do marketing plans with orange trees that are covering up their fruit. Whenever you start to bear fruit in your life, you get excited and you want people to see it and share in it, and you want others to start to bear fruit as well. It's contagious. Rachel is, she's growing an avocado tree in our house. Just started. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. I don't even know what you would call that pot. I don't know, it looks like a chemistry set. But she's been growing this avocado tree for months from a seed. She needed to care for it, and it's weird. It was a gift. It was a Christmas gift. And it's front and center in our house now. And this avocado seed started to crack. And the roots started to come out of this avocado seed. And actually, it looked pretty painful for the avocado seed. Like, this is weird. And eventually, there's going to be an avocado tree in my house that's going to bear maybe one avocado. And it's going to be this little baby avocado. And Rachel's going to present it like, so proud, because she knows I love avocados. I love avocados in all forms. Guacamole, guacamole, and guacamole. And every other form. I love avocados. Love them. But this fruit, it took work. She had this avocado hidden in a Ziploc bag, wrapped in a napkin, hidden in a box so that it could begin to bear fruit. And now we're going to look at it and pray over it. She's probably going to sing over it with Lennon. Just so that it could start to bear fruit. And it's not going to do it by itself. It needs like a whole chemistry set. But whenever that avocado tree would have been put in the perfect environment, it would flourish. Samuel Mercedes, he's on our worship team. He's playing bass today. He's from the Dominican Republic. He used to have avocado trees right outside of his house. He'd just reach out the window, grab an avocado. It's my dream. I love avocados. For months and months and months when I was sick, that's all I ate. It's all I could eat. I had family members like going to different grocery stores so that I could keep ripe avocados in my house. But that avocado tree at Samuel's house in the Dominican Republic was placed in the perfect environment. It flourished. My dining room is not the perfect environment for an avocado tree. But you know what my dining room is a perfect environment for? Our men's group. There's some trees growing there. They're going to be deep-rooted trees. They're not going anywhere. And they're the perfect environment. You know where else there's a perfect environment? Groups on Monday night here, Tuesday night here, Wednesday night here, Thursday night here, Friday morning here, Saturday. You might be like, I already signed up for a group. Stop with the spiel. Are you going? Oh, why do you have to say that? He's just been saying, sign up. No, go. It's time to go now. You didn't just sign up to say that you would commit. No, now it's time to contribute. Well, some of them are full. Find another one. Well, it's not in White Oak. You would drive, how many of you went to the Elevation concert down in Pittsburgh? And you paid to go to that. Groups are free. Some of you are rocking the hoodies. I'm not hating. I'm congratulating. They're going to group. They're sick. Go now. You need to be in the perfect environment so you can bear fruit. So you can be encouraged, empowered, equipped, cared for. So you can grow. So if Paul's writing us a letter, he would encourage us that we would understand the grace that God has given us so that we would fully walk in it. Listen, the gospel saves us, grows us, and bears the fruit within us. The gospel. And we don't grow beyond the gospel. We grow deeper into the gospel. Some of us treat our moment of salvation like a diving board, and we dive in, we go into the pool, and then we get out, and we hang out next to the pool. Oh, this is nice. No. We're supposed to continue to go deeper into the pool. And you're like, well, I want to go deeper on Sunday mornings. No. Go swimming by yourself. This is an appetizer. You go deeper on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday at group. We have an hour and a half with you tops here. How are we going to go as deep as you need to go into the gospel in an hour and a half? Verses 9 through 11. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance with patience and joy. Listen, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When we find our satisfaction in knowing him. Not in the stuff that the world has to offer us, but him. Him. And whenever we find our satisfaction in him and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and understanding that the redemption that he's provided us, that these three things must become reality for us, that we are qualified for the inheritance that he died on the cross to give us. That it must become a reality that we are delivered from darkness. We no longer live there. Darkness might try to visit us, but guess what? It is not where we live anymore. I take this everywhere. You know why? Because I want to let darkness know it doesn't have any power on me. I just have it everywhere. I have fun with it. It's a great example. And guess what? When this battery dies, I got another one. And when that battery dies, I got another one. And the other ones are charging. And if somebody really takes me off, I do that. The darkness has no power if you're walking in the light. And where do you reveal the light? Spend time in his word. We're transferred to the kingdom of the light. That's where we live now. That's where we dwell now. That's where we stay. And when we start to walk in that and understand that, things change. We have a certain swagger about us. You know, I had a great conversation with a gentleman that I'm really close to this week just about qualifications, and he was having an interview. And he was preparing for a whole week and even longer for this interview. And he, the job was a bigger company, bigger than he ever worked for before, and he felt maybe underqualified, but his qualifications weren't what they were going to be looking for. They were going to be looking for character, competence, velocity if he was going forward. God has already qualified you. He didn't call you because you were qualified. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and decided that he was going to redeem you and pay the price for you and buy you back from wherever you were at, he didn't go and do a deep dive on Facebook or Instagram first. When you went to the cross to receive forgiveness and repent of your past, I'm so happy he didn't do a deep dive and say, well, in 2014, that looked like a rough night. How many bars were they at that night? He dated who? And who else? And who else at the same time? I'm so happy that God doesn't do a deep dive on Snapchat and Instagram and is TikTok is a thing now again, right? You can, it's back. I don't know. I've never had it, but people are making money again on TikTok, working on it. I'm so happy that he doesn't do that. I'm so thankful that when we start to walk in an understanding of being qualified, that not only do the people around us give thanks to God for that, we start to give thanks. Verses 12 through 14, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. This word redemption, we were truly ransomed, and that ransom was paid. We were bought back. We were free from the bondage and the sin of our life. Every time I hear the word redemption, I can't help but think about the old Coke bottles that said, you know, you get 5 cents or 10 cents or 15 cents if you're redeemed. As a kid, I was like, I could be rich if I could only get to Minnesota. They paid so much more there. I don't know if it's because they knew that it was cold there and they're like, if you have the faith to collect these, we're paying top dollar. You're qualified because of the price that was paid for you. You're sufficient and adequate. In a world that tells you that you're inadequate, you're never going to measure up. You're not good enough. You're delivered from darkness. You're rescued, and you're beginning to be pulled closer to him. You know, I think of every time I pull Lennon for a hug or we're wrestling or playing around, just pulling him in. Think about the love of a father. is pulling you in. We're transferred into the kingdom of light. We're picked up and moved from one place to another. We were here. We're here now. And we're moving forward. If we're walking in the benefits of being redeemed. The population that we live in wants us to feel defeated, and especially the city and the region we live in wants us to feel defeated and can't be built. This area is never going to be coming back. McKeesport and Versailles, all these areas, it's unredeemable. We're a part of the kingdom. We're King's kids. Let's build. We're released. We're pardoned. We're forgiven. You know, a great example of this is gift cards. How many of you have gift cards in your pocket right now? Be honest. All right, if you could bring them up and we're gonna collect them right here. A gift card gives you access to release something. If you take a gift card to the store that issued it, you can release whatever they have ransomed. You have a gift card for Plaza? They have some great fajitas over there. Try the shrimp fajitas. They're phenomenal. If you have a gift card for Plaza and you go over there with a gift card, you can pay the ransom fee for the fajitas. You can redeem them. They'll release the item to you, and then those fajitas are set free. I get excited over there every time somebody orders the tableside guacamole. Remember, I love avocados. Love them. I get so excited. I'm like, yeah, they're getting guac. I don't order it anymore very rarely because I believe I make better guacamole than the tableside guac. I even have my own mole caliente bowl. I do. It was a gift. I worked hours to season that thing. But you know what the thing is about gift cards? There's billions of them that are unredeemed. Billions and billions of dollars of unredeemed gift cards. People, businesses, they love gift cards. You know why? Free money. You're like a gift card that's got so much money on it, and you're unredeemed yet. If you haven't had that moment with Jesus at the cross. And you know who loves that? The enemy. Because he knows everything that you will receive if you have a moment at that cross. Listen, I am fully redeemed. I know that. I'm the gift card, and God can spend me as however he wants. So I have a question for you. Do you have a moment yet where you accepted the price that was paid for you? Do you have a moment yet where you have received the price that was paid for you? Do you have a moment yet where you have received the forgiveness of the cross so that you could start to bear fruit? Do you have a moment yet where Jesus has become the Lord and Savior of your life, and you've stopped following all these other things that you've tried to find peace and happiness in. If you don't, let today be your day. And it's real simple. Jesus says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you shall be saved. Saved from what? First, in eternity, in hell. Second, yourself. So if you don't have that day, that time, that place, let today be it. I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but the best thing you'll ever do. And not just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place, but I need it. I need to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I don't want you to worry about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. I don't want you to worry about that. This is you and God time. You're not promised tomorrow. This time here is temporary. Know where you're going. And I'm not talking about Plaza to go get tableside guac. I'm talking about heaven for eternity. Do you have a day, a time, a place where you received him as Lord and Savior? Listen, if you're any, yes, thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you're anything like me, I was scared to raise my hand. I responded to the gospel by myself at 12:03 a.m. on a Sunday night, well, Monday morning, because I was scared. If I'm speaking to you right now, all you have to do is tap your phone on that thing, that card in front of you on the seat, and follow the connection card. Let us know that you want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past and leader in your future. Go to the connection point and let them know so we could pray with you, encourage you, empower you, and you could leave with the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible and you've never received that, tell us that. How could you grow in wisdom and knowledge if you don't have the wisdom and knowledge? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are, who we get to be. Lord, may we continue to grow closer to you. May we understand that we're qualified for this inheritance, that we're delivered from darkness, and we're transferred to the kingdom of light. God, may we walk in those truths and those realities in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Matt.
Amen.